Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is Pastor John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we teach those who teach others. And at the moment, we're going through the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Today, where Jesus crosses the lake and goes to confront Legion and all of his demons, and we see a tremendous battle of spiritual warfare and deliverance. Be a very interesting passage today, so tune in. Grab your Bibles, pens, and notebooks. Get ready to learn from God. Before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you will open your word to us today, that you will instruct us, you will enable us, you will empower us. You'll make us strong in the Spirit and reveal Christ to us through the Holy Ghost. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at the passage. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him, and they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them into these, so he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Now here we have this wild man, and he is full of fear. He says to Jesus, "Don't torment me, don't torment me." And the demons coming out of him says, "Don't send us into the pit." And the people in the surrounding area come to Jesus and say, get out, we're afraid of you." You see, what was going on here was this vast spirit of fear and dread, submission to evil spirits, terror and torment. It had come from this man, and it had seized over that city and over that region out in the countryside. And not only the demon-possessed man, Legion, was full of fear, not only the demons were full of fear, but the whole countryside was full of fear. They were afraid of God. There were people living in darkness, terrified by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're the only people we find in the New Testament that I can recall who say, "Jesus, go away, Jesus, go away. We don't want you doing any miracles." This was an area that was terrified of the one Creator God, an area that had been in submission to darkness for so long that it could not cope with the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus knew they needed more light. Jesus knew they needed to understand God better. So when the man, Legion, was healed and he was sitting there clothed and in his right mind, he said, "Go back and tell this whole city, your friends and your relatives, what God has done for you." And he went and did that. And I suppose he related to them. He could get past their reservations and he could tell them what God had done. Maybe later on they did believe. But at the moment, Jesus was too much for them. They couldn't cope with the presence of God. And how bad had this man been? For a start, he was naked. He was probably deeply sunburnt and suntanned. He was wild-looking, long hair, had never slept in a house but among the tombs. And he sought out his consolation among demons, among ghosts, among the wild things. And he wasn't a witch doctor or anything like that. He was uncontrolled. He was possessed. And the demons seized him. The demons would take him over and he would break even chains. He was someone who had multiple demons. A legion was several thousand troops. And he says, a legion of demons within him. The demons in him were many. He had become a nest, a home, a dwelling place of a whole demonic area. And he was so full of demons that when Jesus went across there to deliver him, the demons in him caused a storm on the lake, which we saw in the last broadcast. So what were the demons afraid of? First of all, they're afraid of the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Now, it was a pagan area. The Gerasenes was a Gentile area, a mixture of Greek and various other nationalities living there, worshipping all sorts of gods and keeping pigs. It wasn't a Jewish area at all. And so there were many, many gods. And of course, in these areas that have many, many gods, they generally have a Most High God, a God that's above all their other gods, Zeus and Astaroth and Baal or whatever else they're worshipping. And this, the demons in Legion recognized Jesus as Son of the Most High God, the head of all the gods. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and all the other gods were going to bow down before Jesus. He's the Son of the Most High God, not just one God. These people didn't believe in one God. They believed in many, many gods. But above all the many, many gods on Mount Olympus, there was the Most High God, the creator of heavens and earth. And Jesus was the Son of the creator of the heavens and earth. He is the Son of all authority. And so here he is. He's shattered. He's wild. And he says, "What do you have to do with me?" Because he's there. He's a completely shattered human being. Why would Jesus come to him? Why would Jesus come to deal with this complete madman who was naked and wild and breaking shackles? Why would Jesus come to him? Now, that's a really good question, because Jesus wants everyone redeemed, no matter how mad, no matter how crazy, no matter how demon-possessed, no matter how obscene, no matter how broken the person's lifestyle is. The man Legion was completely outside of all normal human behavior. When he was clothed and in his right mind later on, people saw the change and thought, how can this happen? Because they were used to him being abnormal. Normal for the Legion was to be abnormal. He was raging around naked. He was wild. He was fierce. He didn't go anywhere near people. He slept among the tombs. And he was seized by this demon, and it would drive him out into the desert, into isolation, away from people. And when someone is spiritually afflicted, they want to avoid people. They want to go off into the desert. They don't want to socialize with human beings. They adopt lifestyles that are well outside of the normal range of human lifestyles. They're not normal suburban people. They're crazy. And the craziness takes them over and they become more and more isolated. But Jesus came to this isolated man. Jesus came to the person that everyone else was afraid of, that everyone else was terrified of, that no one else wanted to go near, the person that was kept under guard unless he attacked them. And even the guarding of this man was impossible because he would break the shackles. This person was broken, he was shattered, he was dangerous, he was insane. And Jesus crossed that lake, went through that storm with his disciples to deliver him from his demons. Now, deliverance is a real ministry that the church has to have. It's a scary ministry. It's a ministry that is often opposed by Satan. But deliverance is a a ministry that you and your church need to engage in as God gives you the power and authority to do so. God wants to take territory for Jesus Christ. And here the territory of the Gerasenes had not been touched by God or by any prophet or by any of the Jewish rabbis for a long time. No one could come near this place because of this wild man and his ways. This area was in deep spiritual bondage, and it was a place in which no light, spiritual light, had penetrated for a very long while. And Jesus went there. He went where the crazy man was. He went where the demons were, and he delivered that place. The demons later end up in the pigs and then being drowned. So we find that Jesus was intentional about deliverance. And the church needs to be intentional about deliverance. You need to be intentional about casting out demons out of people as God trains you, as God informs you, as God helps you in this matter. Now, if you're interested in deliverance, I have a course in spiritual warfare, which you can find on one of my websites, newtestamentprayer.org. newtestamentprayer.org. All one word, newtestamentprayer.org. Click on the spiritual warfare course there, and you can learn about it. And there's many other sources of ways and means of casting out demons and performing deliverance. If you want a prayer for personal deliverance, go to globalchristians.org/cleansing. That's globalchristians.org/cleansing. And you'll find a prayer that you can download and share with people. And I will, perhaps at the end of this broadcast, I will explain that prayer a bit more. But Jesus wants people delivered from demonic oppression and power. And lots of churches don't even engage at this level because it's so risky, so it's so difficult, it's so spectacular. And even Jesus had, it seemed, a little bit of trouble in delivering Legion out from these demons. They'd taken so much control of him. And it says here, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, and they hadn't come out at this point. He'd commanded and they were still there. So what Jesus adopts a tactic. Says Jesus then asked him, what is your name? And the demon surrenders the name. And at this point, Jesus has more knowledge of the demon and can cast out the multiple demons that are in there. And he says, Legion, for many demons had entered into him. So here, one of the things we can do during a deliverance session is to ask the name of the demons and then to cast them out, particularly for a major stronghold like this. Now, Legion was a stronghold. Many, many demons had entered into him. He controlled an area of territory. People were afraid of him. He was a spiritually powerful human being, but in a very disorganized and terrified way. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. There's a place called the abyss or the pit, and that's where Satan is confined for 1,000 years in Revelation chapter 20. It's not the place of final judgment, but it is a place of torment. It is a place of change. It's a place they don't want to go to. And it's a place where they kind of disintegrate and they lose power. And there is a certain level of spiritual torment there. It doesn't explain what's happening with that. The final place is the lake of fire. So for the devil, we find out he starts out in the third heaven with God. He's an anointed cherub. And then he falls through his sin. He goes down to the second heaven where angels and demons do battle. He's there throughout the Old Testament. After the cross, he's cast down again to the first heaven. He becomes prince of the power of the air, which is where we find him in the book of Ephesians. Then he tries to fight his way back. And there's another big battle in the mid-heaven in Revelation 12. He loses that battle. He's cast out of the first heaven in the air. And he comes in and comes into human bodies and becomes the Antichrist. And we find that in Revelation 13. He then tries to take total control of the earth, which he does by being the Antichrist, and has a war against God on the surface of the earth, which he loses, the Battle of Armageddon. At that point, he's cast down to the pit for 1,000 years. He comes back out of the pit, tries to have another war on the surface of the earth. This fails, and he's finally cast down into the lake of fire. So they're the spiritual realms summarized in the fall of Satan. Third heaven, second heaven, first heaven, earth, the pit, and the lake of fire. So what these demons were afraid of was being cast into the pit, which is the place where demons are punished now before they end up in the lake of fire. And they did not want to go from earth down into the lake of the fire. These are unclean spirits. Now, there's two kinds of unclean spirits, not two kinds. There's a difference between fallen angels and unclean spirits. Unclean spirits need a body. Well, when they left the Man Legion, they wanted a physical body, so they went into the pigs rather than going into the pit, which was dry and waterless and a place of torment for them. So they needed a physical body of some size or whatever to dwell in, and so they went out of human beings and into the pigs. It's part of the reason we consider pigs unclean, or the Jews considered pigs unclean, is because they could become a dwelling place of demons. And so here we find that demons can, or unclean spirits, can indwell animals, and occasionally you'll see an animal that's very strange and very weird and seems to go around biting people, and it's not rabies or something, but it's actually a demon-possessed animal. It's relatively rare, but they happen. So here we find the demons going into animals. The animals go berserk and drown themselves in the lake, and to the astonishment of the herdsmen. So Jesus, for some strange reason, gives them permission, and this is what has happened. They go down there. Now, the other thing, other than unclean spirit, are fallen angels. Now, Satan is a fallen angel. He's a fallen cherub. At the moment, he does not inhabit a human body. He is flying around. He can go from here to there around the world. He says to God, he can go up to the third heaven to talk to God when he's called up there, and he says, I've been patrolling to and fro upon the earth. So Satan at the moment does not inhabit a human body, though he can take one over temporarily for his purposes, just like Satan entered into Judas to betray Jesus. He can enter into someone then depart from them, but mainly he is a mighty fallen angel that can travel around the world at great speed, causing all sorts of trouble. And so he's a being with wings and power and horns and whatever he has. And at the moment, he is a powerful fallen angel, a principality, not an unclean spirit. And Satan doesn't need to go into a pig. Satan doesn't need to go into a human body, though he will eventually be forced into a human body. And that human body will be the body of the Antichrist. And that's when things will go wild during the tribulation. The 666 will come in. A one-world government will come in and all the rest. I don't think we're that far from that, but I am not aware of God's timing on these issues. So when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. So the herdsmen run out in fear. We notice fear everywhere in this passage. Everyone's afraid. The herdsmen see their pigs drown, and instead of saying, wow, God is in our midst, or glory to God, these demons were cast out, they just ran away in complete and utter berserk terror. And so this Jesus guy came over and he did this and he did that, and the demons came out of Legion, they entered our pigs, and they were terrified. They saw this demonstration of spiritual power, and they did not see it as beneficial. And this is the pagan worldview. In the pagan worldview, outside of the Jewish worldview, in the pagan worldview, gods are harmful. You don't want to run into a god, because a god can change his or her mind and afflict you with a curse or this or other. And the power of gods is to be feared. You just want to get on with your normal life. And if one of these gods turns up, you have to have a sacrifice. We see that in Acts. They start sacrificing to Paul and Barnabas. And he says, no, 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 no. They are terrified of the gods because they were very variable. The world is capricious. It's a bit of a long word. But they change their minds. And they can be easily insulted. They can turn around and kill you and your family in a split second, or your children, or set a plague on the village if you do the wrong thing. And so spiritual power was not something to be delighted in. Spiritual power was something terrifying, mystifying, a menace to society. And that's how the pagan people viewed their gods. They viewed their god as terrifying and to be placated at all times. And in the pagan world, there are a lot of what we call taboos. Taboos are rules. And if you break those rules, a spiritual consequence follows, or in many cases, a curse. So if you looked at someone the wrong way, and if you looked at your mother-in-law the wrong way, etc., etc., and you were disrespectful, that would break a taboo, and a curse would come upon you and your family for breaking that particular law. And some places there'll be a sacred tree, and if you don't bow down to the sacred tree when you passed it, you're breaking the taboo, the spiritual rule of the principality in that area, and a curse will come down on you and your family for not bowing down to the sacred tree. And these are common all around the world. In one area I lived in Papua New Guinea, the taboos were related to women, and there was a rule about women having to wear a cane basket over their bodies for 9 months after a relative passed away. They were not to take it off. So they lived in these bamboo prisons, a bamboo cane prison, and that was a taboo. And it was not to be broken under any circumstances or spiritual consequences, such as curses of disease and death and bad luck would follow. When the gospel came to the Gogodala people and they realized the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were freed from their taboos, they were freed from their fear of spirits, they were freed from their terror, and they could put it aside and rejoice in the gospel and the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They could come out from their tribal worship of demons and witchcraft and all the various things that happened in that time, and they could come into the glory of God and into the freedom of the gospel, where they could eat what they like, drink what they like, go where they like, without fear. And when Jesus comes, he removes the fear from a place. But this place had not seen God. This place had not seen Jesus. It was still in great spiritual bondage, and they were terrified of God. They were terrified of the power of God. So the herdsmen rush away into the countryside, afraid of what had happened. They'd seen something greater than their local gods, greater than their local demons, more powerful than the most powerful individual in their society, which was this madman, this poor demon-possessed legion, who was wild, and they saw him tamed. And they said, something we don't understand is here. And God does things we don't understand. God cannot be fitted into an equation. He cannot be predicted. Jesus was always unpredictable. He would turn up to Legion, the person you'd think that Jesus wouldn't go to. You'd think he'd be going to the high priest. You'd think he'd be going to Herod. Instead, he went to Legion. Completely crazy man. Jesus turned up and Jesus delivered Legion out of his compassion, his kindness, and his graciousness. And to demonstrate the spiritual power of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God. And so he does this, and they realize that the Son of the Most High God had come among them. And they realize that this was a God above their gods, that Jesus was in a new category of people. He was more than a prophet. He was someone who could take command of situations and command demons to come out of people with a word, and the demons had to obey, and the demons had to flee, and the demons just self-destructed in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus was so full of the Holy Ghost, the demons would just implode. They would self-destruct. They would go into the pigs and rush down and drown themselves. Yeah, the presence of Jesus Christ was destroying all the evil spirits around. And when you gain the presence of God in your church, when you go into prayer and worship and thankfulness and all these great things, you are causing demons to implode. You're causing the demons to self-destruct because the power of God is being manifest. And now we come, the herdsmen are gripped by spiritual fear, and they run out into the city and the country, and they become evangelists in a sort of negative way. Then the people of the countryside and city went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man whom the demons had gone out of, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now, they weren't afraid because of the report of the herdsmen. They weren't afraid because of the pigs rushing down the bank. They were afraid when they saw the madman sane. They thought, this was impossible. This man cannot become sane. This doesn't happen. This is abnormal. This is outside of the laws of nature. And it's like when a doctor treats someone, they say, oh, this person's incurable, this person's incurable. Then the person goes to a crusade and they're healed by the word of God and the power of God. And they go back to the doctor and say, look, I'm better. I was blind, but now I see. I was deaf, but now I hear. And the doctors say, well, we don't know this. We're astonished. This cannot happen. And the thing that could not happen, the thing that everyone knew could not happen, had happened. And it had happened because of the power of God. The power of God was there and visible, and they were afraid. They didn't rejoice. They didn't say, praise be to God, like the Jews did. They didn't say, a prophet is amongst us. They just trembled there because they were so used to being afraid. And they said to Jesus, get out of here. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them. They didn't want the power of God in their midst because they didn't trust God. They didn't trust the gods. They were used to the Greek gods. They were used to the evil gods. They were used to the gods that would sacrifice their children to them. They thought, if he turns up, he's going to make some crazy demand on us. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. And they were terrified of such a demonstration of spiritual power. They just wanted to be left alone. And we find this sometimes with people. They react to miracles. They see the doctors or someone see someone healed and they say, no, get out of here. We don't want you healing our people. You think the doctors would want people to be healed, but it's so abnormal, it's so strange that it makes them afraid. It shatters something inside them and they want to get God out of the equation. They want to get this Jesus out of their district. They used to have things down normally. Things used to be this way and not that way. And now everything had changed. Their society had changed since legions, demons had been cast out. The spiritual atmosphere around them was beginning to change because the demons had been destroyed. They're self-destructed. They'd gone into the lake. And this lake was known, and it was thought that the bottom of this particular lake was a place where the demons went and dwelt. That was a local rumor. It was a bottomless pit. So these demons had gone into the pigs, and the pigs had gone into the pit, and the demons had gone into the bottom of this bottomless lake. That was the rumor. And they were seeing something happen in the spiritual realms, and it shocked them to the core. Do not be a person who is afraid of God. Rejoice in God. Do not be like these people who say, Jesus, go away. Jesus, go away. We can't take your power. We can't take your glory. A person who just wants life to be routine and normal, even if it's dysfunctional. And sometimes you're in a dysfunctional situation. Sometimes you're in a bad situation. Sometimes you're on drugs or alcohol, or you're possessed by a demon, or even witchcraft's being done against you, but you're so used to it, you don't want Jesus to turn up. Don't be like that. Cry out to Jesus for your healing. Don't stay sick. Don't stay demon-possessed. Don't stay cursed. Call out to Jesus and ask him to save you from your sins, to save you from your poverty, to save you from corrupt governments, to save you from all sorts of things that afflict you. And anyway, the man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might go with him, but Jesus sent him away. Why didn't he let him go with him? Because he knew they needed a testimony, that he knew the region needed to see the change. He said, you go, and as you evangelize, you'll get better. I think that's implied. So he sent him out to be a witness to the glory of God. Go and tell everyone what Jesus has done for you, just like the man who was being delivered did. This is Pastor John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.